This is Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional sports team in the state of Kentucky, Racing Louisville Football Club. That is Becky Morgan. I am Tom Benson. Becky, you and I both have been fighting colds. We have been fighting the horrible Kentucky allergies. Our noses have been running. We've been coughing, just like our favorite team that was coughing through a three-game losing streak. But whether you've got a cold or a losing streak, what do you need? You need the doctor to come in and save the day. How are we feeling tonight?
Relieved after the Spirit game. I mean, that was, we'll get into it, but if that game didn't turn around the way it did, I was going to have some serious concerns, and I feel a lot better as a result. So I feel like I'm getting better, and I feel like the team is too. So
that second half of the Spirit game was like a cup of hot tea to make your nerves feel better. Hopefully it's a sign of health going forward. We'll talk about that going forward a little bit later on, but starting off for the starting line, Becky, we've had some players leave us.
Yeah, we sure did. Racing Louisville traded CeCe Kaiser and Addison Merrick to Kansas City for $150,000 in allocation money, an international roster spot for 2022 and 2023, and potentially an additional $25,000 should Kaiser meet certain performance-based criteria. So that's a huge loss, but that's also honestly a huge return for Racing. Additionally, Racing did waive defender Erin Simon, and word that we're hearing is that she's looking to return to the WSL next season and is looking to play in England. So best of luck to her. And then we have finally traded Tobin Heath's rights also to OL Rain, which surprised some people, for $50,000 and two draft picks.
Well, it's nice to move away from Tobin Heath. That was a bit of an albatross around the neck of Racing, or at least for Racing fans over the last season. And we'll talk a little bit more about the departures of Addison Merrick, CeCe Kaiser, and Erin Simon a little bit later on. And as we record now, Racing sits ninth place on the table, 4 points outside of the top six. Does that seem about right, Becky?
Yeah, I mean, that seems about right. I'm not surprised that that's where we are based on, you know, the three-game skid that we were on. You know, everything is so tight this year that it really is almost exceptional how close teams are. I mean, yeah, Kansas City is only behind us by -1 goal differential. And I believe Gotham is now only ahead of us by +2 goal differential. So, I mean, everything is just so close together that a win can propel you up to in reach of the playoffs, and then a loss can put you in last place. And so that's a little terrifying. I mean, we are in a bit of a precarious situation because the teams that are at the bottom, and unfortunately Racing is one of them, are all I think only apart by 2 points.
Yeah. No, the roller coaster ride of this season is going to continue. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Before we get to our commercial break, Becky, just a quick note that in the Lavender Legion chat last week, it was brought up by you, thank you, that I know the mother of Louisville pop star Jack Harlow. And I have a story about her and a celebrity run-in that she had that was just an adorable story that I will be telling after the pod for anybody that'd be interested. So what do you think?
I think that's great. We'll stick it in after the credits. And the Jack Harlow connection isn't just a Louisville connection. Amina Ekic absolutely adores him. A lot of our other players seem to. And shout out to Racing Louisville and Jeff Greer in particular for getting him to shout out Amina for her birthday and send her a little video that seemed to absolutely delight her. So
We were all delighted by that video. We were all delighted by that video, and nice work by the racing team, and thanks to Jack Harlow. But first, before we go any further, a quick commercial break. Becky, we've talked a little bit about some of the folks that support racing that may not be top of mind for a lot of fans, but a couple of sponsors that we see every match are GE Appliances and PNC Bank, who stepped up to sponsor the kits for racing. If you've got to buy a washer and dryer, GE Appliance, Becky. You need to buy a dishwasher, GE Appliance. Support those folks that support racing. If you're looking for a new bank, go to PNC. Give them a chance. And Becky, if you are a current PNC Bank customer, next time you're in there, tell them thanks for giving Racing Louisville the love, because their sponsor dollars help keep great players in town playing for racing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It seems like kind of silly to be like, oh, thank you for sponsoring racing, but it does matter. I mean, these companies mm-hmm. need to know that fans and the team do appreciate it. And so, yeah, I mean, shout them out on social media if you're so inclined.
Absolutely. And now we're coming off of two games, Angel City and the Washington Spirit. Becky, what were some of the things that were some through lines for you that you noticed, not just in one game, but things that looked like they were trends or that really stuck out for those two games for racing?
Before I go to those two games, I need to talk about the two before that we covered in our last podcast.
Okay.
Our losses to the Kansas City Current and the North Carolina Courage, because in both those games, we looked just excessively flat. We gave up early goals and we had some energy and bursts of energy, but it was almost alarming how off we looked compared to how yeah. we had been playing before. In these two most recent games, the energy was definitely back. And the team looked more like the team we expected. It's still not as consistent as I would like. There are still mistakes being made that are losing us games. Mm-hmm. But we seem to have gotten over the worst of the hump and have at least stopped the skid with the draw against the Spirit. So I am definitely relieved by that. I would say that, again, I was worried that we looked kind of flat in the first half against the Spirit. But thankfully, you know, we were definitely able to find our energy in the second half and come back. And honestly, that's more of a relief to me than if we had just outright won the game, because the team has never come back to get points after going behind by two. Mm-hmm. And we also just showed that we can be resilient and come back. That's so critically important for team mentality. So I was really, honestly, that's almost as good as a win to me, to have had that result in the long run. So what are your thoughts, Tom?
Well, I think the first thing I'd like to say is that I did not watch the Washington Spirit game live. I watched a replay of it, and we were at a play, but I followed the game based on your texts that you sent. And 3 minutes into the Washington game, you texted probably my favorite text I've ever received, which was, oh my God, that's a lot of blood. And I think that first.
Yes, I sure did.
Yeah. You never want to see a player get injured, but I thought that it was very interesting that Alex Chidiak just shows how tough she is, that she didn't realize how injured she was at the time. I think that the thing that strikes me about those two games was that, yes, we showed a lot of resilience, but also that we were getting goals in the run of play, which was something that hasn't happened all that much for racing previously. You know, our free kick game has been fantastic, and it's been a huge improvement for this team, but we haven't been getting too many goals based on our offense. And it is, I don't know whether it is too easy to say or whether there's just a lot more to it, but putting Savannah DeMello on that front line to where she can be a lot more of an instigator, a lot more of a a playmaker trying to get the ball up to Jess McDonald, get it to her playmakers. I think that those two things, I think that's, a related factor.
I definitely think bringing DeMello into the attack more fully, not playing her on just the wing and not having her back as a six where she's forced to keep a fairly tight zone has absolutely been beneficial. I mean, she's naturally a 10 position player. That's her favorite position. And it shows because she did so well in it. I mean, not like she hasn't done extraordinarily well everywhere. But, and we will talk about this, later on. But I mean, one of the issues racing has had is that we do have so many depth in a couple of these positions. I mean, Nadia, Savannah, and Cece Kaiser were all 10s. Amina Ekic is arguably a 10 too. Something has to give, which again, we will talk about that later. But no, I do think that DeMello has been in the attack has been an absolutely huge bonus to the team because she is just relentless. I mean, I will say that Angel City, I think we played better in that game than we did against the Spirit. I think that we were consistent and much more thorough through the entire game, but we did score both of our goals. Unfortunately, off set piece situations are a penalty. So, I mean, that's not bad, but again, it did worry me that we weren't scoring in the run of play. And then, you get to the Spirit and we are able to score in the run of play. But I do think that one of the most telling things to me is that Jessica McDonald proved why she's the assist leader once she was on with another striker who's a true striker. When she was able to, score two goals by assisting Nadia Nadim in two different ways. One with a through ball as Nadia was making a run, and then another with a cross goal that Nadia was able to head in. I wonder at the reason why we keep insisting on isolating Jess up there by herself when, yes, she can absolutely score, and yes, she can absolutely, create goals, but she's clearly so much better, even better than she was otherwise when you put her up there with another really strong striker.
I wonder, absolutely you're right. And I wonder though, is it the fact that it was another striker? It could be, absolutely. It could also be that you're putting her up there with somebody that has her football IQ. Now, this is taking nothing away from Cece Kaiser, Savannah DeMello, any of our players, but players that are 2 years, 3 years in the professional ranks, I don't think that they're going to, I don't think that they would be offended if you said, you know what, Nadia's got a little bit better eye for the game. She's been on the international scene, she's been in club soccer, she's been a professional for 10 years, she's a doctor, and she had a natural connection with Jess that I think was just, especially on that given goal, that I mean, it was a thing of beauty.
It was, and I mean, I think you got it exactly. These are two really strong, famous veterans for a reason. They're going to produce together when they're together. And one of racing's biggest problems that I mean, I have to remind myself of constantly is that they are a very, very young team. I had the benefit of speaking to Savannah DeMello not that long ago for a profile that's going to be an equalizer. So keep your eyes open for that. And she stressed, we're a young team. We're very young. We're going to have to become veterans to learn some of this stuff. So please just, kind of have patience with us. And so, I mean, I do think that that is a big issue when you have a core that includes, so many rookie and first year players, they're going to struggle to understand each other's runs, each other's plays. Nadia knew exactly when to make runs into the box. She knew exactly where her positioning needed to be. And that's something that I think we've struggled with. And I think part of that is because we are just so young.
We're young on the pitch, but we're also young on the sideline. And I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine who I used to have Bengals season tickets with before they, went to the Super Bowl run. And he and I used to joke about the Bengals play-by-play announcer, Dave Lapham, and Dave would always talk about like the tale of two halves, the tale of two halves, and we would joke that, when the Bengals would play two halves, the first half they played really bad, but the second half they played like really, 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 really bad. And that's how the two halves play. But he has another cliche that I've been thinking about a lot, which is like he was always saying, talking about answers. A team goes down and scores. Well, you answer that, but then if the other team scores, well, then you answer the answer. Well, then you need to answer the answer with an answer. And, you know, you keep going back. And I am looking for Kim to start answering answers. I thought Michael Shaw made just a brilliant observation when he talked about the Kristen Press goal, where, you know, to this point, you know, we've joked about it, we've talked about it, that when there is a dynamic striker on the other team, you just put Emily Fox on her and we're in good shape. Well, Angel City knew that. They pulled Kristen Press down to the middle. Emily Fox followed her, and which left a wide open flank for the cross, so that they saw what we were doing tactically and they answered it. Well, now we need to see Coach Kim answer that answer. It's not saying that you can't do it, but that game and this league is constantly evolving tactically. And just one more thought on that, because I see you ready to say, like, Tom, you're wrong, which not the first time. But, you know, Nadia has been injured, but we've seen, you know, we talked about it earlier, we're not getting a lot of goals in the run of play. You put somebody that is, you know, has a little bit higher, I don't want to say IQ, but, you know, you put Nadia in there with Jess McDonald, and Jess is able to utilize all the tools that she has. So I think that when we see this team again, and we're getting ready to go on international break and whatnot, but once this team is back full speed, I think you need to look at seeing at having a lineup where you've got another prominent attacking presence up there with Jess, so that we can utilize all of her talents to score goals.
No, I agree with you entirely. One of the things that actually worries me the most about this team is the complete lack of tactical creativity we have. We are determined to play in one formation, in one way, and expect it to work every time, and I guess not expect other teams to figure it out and break us down. Mm-hmm. The club has the idea that they want to play in a very specific style, a high pressing style, build from the back, and that they're going to do it no matter what. And that's the reasons that we're hearing for Ebony Salmon not getting minutes, because pressing is not what she does as her natural skill. She's more getting between the lines and, you know, kind of lurk and then wait for balls and moments to strike. And I just worry that we're so determined to build a style that we're not using the pieces that we have. And we're also just setting ourselves up to be figured out immediately by every team that plays us. And, you know, there's definitely some benefit into having a club philosophy that starts in the academy and goes all the way up to the first teams. And, you know, the high press and everything has worked very well for Lou City, as we've all seen. But, you know, the NWSL is different and our players are different. And I don't quite buy the idea that we should be forcing everybody to play in one style no matter what, when we don't necessarily have the pieces yet to do it. And so that's probably my biggest concern so far with what the team's been doing.
Now, after the Washington Spirit game, Kim, and I want to say one of the players, although I could be mistaken, said in their post-game comments that they were looking to lay off the high press a little bit and go to more of a mid-press. So I wonder if, you know, what you're saying as far as a different style, you know, what I'm saying as far as answer and answer with an answer, to that they're getting to that point where they have enough confidence in their base system, for lack of a better term, that they can change it up a little bit as the play dictates. But to your point, as far as playing a specific style, is it what is the best way to have success? I think that it is not a coincidence that we've started to, you know, see what this identity is. We're about halfway through the season and we're starting to see some departures from the roster that, CeCe Kaiser and Addison Merrick have found a new home in Kansas City. Aaron Simon is looking for more minutes elsewhere. And they all, to use the soccer cliche, they all put in a good shift and played well for us, and wish them nothing but the best as long as they're not scoring goals against us. But Becky, what were your first thoughts when you got the news, when we saw the press release for these changes?
Frustrated to a certain extent. I mean, if players wanting to leave, no matter what the reason, always worries me that it could be a potential red flag. I don't have any information that says that it is, but, you know, players don't always fit into systems, and they can look to leave if they're not getting minutes, and maybe we'll see more departures. But it still bothers me that we're letting good players go for not perfectly fitting into our style, if that's even the reason why. And we're not giving minutes to these very good players because, you know, there's still a while that the transfer window is going to be open, but, you know, they just got a whole lot of money from Kansas City, but it doesn't seem like they had something big lined up to use that money for. You know, we just got $200,000 between the Tobin Heath and the Merrick and Kaiser trade. So what are we going to do with that? I think everybody's first thought was like, oh, well, you know, clearly they're making room for something big, but time has been ticking and I haven't seen anything big materialize yet. So those are kind of my thoughts, kind of understanding but cautious. And, you know, I also, not to go on too long, I do also want to say that, you know, Emily Fox was asked about this directly, and she said that spirits are high on the team and they're just happy that, you know, players are able to go on and be where they want to be. And so that's how the club and that's how the players are looking at it. And you know what? That's a very healthy, very good way to look at it. And I talked to Savannah DeMello for the Equalizer article, and I asked her very bluntly, you know, with these player departures, you know, fans are obviously worried about chemistry in the locker room. What is it? And her response was, I think the team has very good chemistry. It's not perfect by any means, but no team has perfect chemistry anywhere. And so she thinks it's very good. Those were her words. And she also said that she believes that everybody on the team has the best intentions and is doing what they think is best for the team. I asked her if she felt supported by the club, and she says she feels supported by James, the coaching staff, and everybody. So I think that we're all a little traumatized in the NWSL. And so we can't not be worried when things like this happen, but trying to talk to the players about it, they say they're in good spirits. They say chemistry is good. And these last two games have definitely shown a team that has better chemistry than the two before that showed, if that makes sense.
It does. And I mean, I think that you are definitely right on that. You know, you've been a long time NWSL fan from the beginning of the league. I have been an NWSL fan since this team was announced. So, you know, my scars for this league are not as deep as yours, but they're still there. And absolutely, when you see a bunch of players look to leave, you say like, oh man, unfortunately this league has classically conditioned fans to say that something may not be right with the club. At this point though, I don't see that there is any reason. There's no evidence other than some players leaving to go that route, which is where I kind of come in on this to say that, you know, first of all, full disclosure, Becky, I had like a vision, like a daydream right after CeCe Kaiser scored the first goal this season. I said that to myself, this was like me in the stands, possibly heat stroked, probably too many beers to drive. That is all ancillary information that you don't need. But I was delirious with happiness, and I thought, if CeCe Kaiser scores the first goal next year, which would be for the third season, well, hell, we'll need to bring her back like every year. Like she will be retired. You know, it'll be like 50-year-old CeCe Kaiser bringing her family up on the field, and we're going to have her pregame score a goal because that's what she does. She scores the first goal of the season every year. So you know, that awesome fantasy of CeCe Kaiser continually scoring the first goal for good luck is of course gone, which is a bit of a bummer. But I'll say this, I was not upset about these players leaving. I mean, of course I was upset about them leaving because, you know, we've all been emotionally invested in CeCe, Addison Merrick, Aaron Simon played her butt off for us. But, you know, players leave when they want more minutes and more money. For some reason, we got a new coaching staff in and Addison Merrick wasn't getting the minutes that she wanted. Aaron Simon, not getting the minutes that she wanted. It's okay that they wanted to leave. This last summer, I was visiting my in-laws in Florida, and I had a buddy that moved down to Florida as well. I went out to lunch with him, and he was telling me, he's like, Tom, Florida is paradise. It's just paradise. I was like, yes, this place is great. And he said, you know, you should move down here too. It's great. And I said, you know what? This place is paradise, but it's not my paradise. I can love Florida, but I don't want to move there. People can have a good experience here in Louisville, but it's not their paradise. And if CeCe and Addison Merrick wanted to find a new home elsewhere, I'm glad that the club didn't keep them around where they were unhappy. We got a good return on them. And when you get a new coaching staff, sometimes there's a roster turnover.
I mean, I'll also say that, I mean, it's very possible that they did not have a good time in Louisville, but, you know, I'm also glad though, that no matter what time they had, good or bad, Racing found a way for them to get to a place that they're happy with. They didn't just trade them to some random team. So, I mean, I do think that that is a sign of goodwill on behalf of Racing. And so that gives me a little bit of positivity, but I mean, I also just think that there's no way that fans can look and say that, you know, Lauren Millay is the last player now that we have left from the entire expansion draft last season. That's crazy. But on the other hand, people kept telling us how horrible our expansion draft tactics was. And so I don't know. Either way. The fact that, you know, we have since turned over almost every player that was on our team last year is something. I mean, I know it's a new coach. I know it's a new system and everything, but, you know, it's a brave new world. And I guess we're just going to have to get used to facing it. So I'm not unhappy with the trades. I'm happy that they're going to where they want, but I do worry that we are pushing good players out simply because they don't fit into our system and we're not giving them minutes or chances to show that they're very good players and, you know, could be creating some unhappiness there.
Well, I think that one thing that if I got pessimistic about these players leaving, I think what really got to me the most is just the thought, it's like, oh, damn, we didn't make any progress from last year. You know, when you're an expansion team, no one's expecting you to, I mean, San Diego is crushing it. God bless, I guess, you know, having an Alex Morgan who's really motivated is a good thing in the NWSL, but no one expected this team to come out gangbusters. The hope was that you put some pieces together, you put some things in place and you make progress. Year two, you're a little better. Year three, you know, maybe you're knocking on the door of the playoffs. And when these players left and the realization that it's like, oh crap, it's just Lil Malay left. It's like, oh man, wow. We're starting from square one again. And that's kind of a bummer. And this one way to look at it is to say that, you know, these players were not happy, not utilized, you know, all that. You know, another way to look at it is to say that, you know, those players fit the previous coach's system a little bit better, and the new coach didn't find as much opportunity for them. And as tough as it is, I mean, that happens in sports. You bring in a new coach, some players find themselves with more opportunities, some players find themselves with less opportunities. I mean, CeCe Kaiser was fantastic last year. She had flashes this year, but I didn't see as many moments of brilliance this year as I did last year. I'm sure we'll see it in Kansas City. I hope they do. I hope they can get the best out of her. But I wonder if we were putting them in the best position to be successful. And sometimes that's just a new coach. You get a new boss in, they're not happy, and you need a little bit of roster turnover.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's most likely the case. Like you said, how many of us have had, you know, a turnover in leadership and been like, man, you know, this isn't the place for me anymore. I do want to move on,
exactly.
Or at least I'm going to think about it. So that's very true. And like I talked about it in a little bit earlier, but now I want to get back to a little more, is that, I mean, one of the biggest problems racing had last season and continues to have to some degree this season is that we just have far too much overlap. CeCe is an excellent player, but I'm sorry, she's not going to get minutes over Nadia when Nadia's here, if Nadia's playing the 10. And I can see how that would be a big point of frustration for her. Also, absolutely. I mean, DeMello is an excellent player who I think is going to be a core player that Racing wants to build the team around. And while she will play the 6 and while she will play on the wing, you know, 10 is supposedly her best spot. So again, you know, there's kind of tension there too. I'm not going to say what was the right choice and who is the better player, but I mean, when there's a crowd, there ends up being issues because everybody wants minutes.
Yep.
And so I think the overlap there, you know, is a problem. I'm a little more frustrated with Merrick leaving because we are so thin in defenders. We did just get Sitar Murray, and that's excellent. But for the international window, we currently only have 3 defenders signed who are going to be there because we're losing Fox, we're losing Holloway, and we're losing Murray because they're all going to be – Holloway is going to be in the Euros, and then Fox and Murray are going to be in the CONCACAF tournament for the month of July. So that's a little scary.
I mean, really, the fact is that, you know, this is, I'm going to say it like it's a joke, but no one's going to laugh because we all know it's true. But let's get ready for outside back Lauren Millay. I mean, the fact is,
if
she had another,
what's going to happen?
I mean, like, she's 3 inches away from playing goalie for Kim at some point. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. CeCe, she is established in this league. She's not looking to play behind anybody, and Nadia has shown you what she can do. And Savannah DeMello, you can't keep her off the field. You put her anywhere and she is making a difference. And it's funny to watch her that, you know, we want the first game she played the 6, and you know, what did I joke about? I said, like, you know, or we joked, she was, you know, yellow cards and fouls. Next game, she's all right. Third game, she and Jay Howell looked like they could lock down any opposing offense on the planet. Then we put her on the wing. First game, iffy. Second game, a few chances. Third game, fantastic. And now we're seeing the same progression. I mean, her learning curve is outstanding. And honestly, you know, when I talk about Coach Kim getting a, you know, coming with an answer to an answer and an answer, I mean, it is incumbent upon him to find a way to have Jess McDonald, Nadia, and Savannah DeMello, all 3 in the middle of the field in attacking positions. Because when those 3 are on the field together, Racing scores goals in the run of play, they get fouls, they get good free kicks, they get penalty kicks. They are our best offensive players. We need them to score goals and win. And it's on Kim to find a way to make it happen and not just, rely on system, you know, get a little creative, find, you know, I would think that is the fun part about being a coach is making those adjustments. You've got a lot of talent there, and really the Spirit defense, like, they're no slouch. The fact that Nadia and Jess were able to open them up for 2 goals, I mean, if you can score on them, it bodes well for the remainder of the season, which, you know, who knows what will, you know, for 3 of them, they probably all won't be available to play together until late July, but still, you know, better late than never.
I do think that we are going to see more chances for like Kirsten Davis and Amina Ekich during this time too. Which I mean, they're going to need time in order to get the experience to become the veteran players that we know they can be. I feel positive going into this international break. I do because, yes, we're losing some big players, but every other team is losing some big players. San Diego's losing half of their starting lineup. So, there's room for us to, take advantage of some of this and catch up on some of these points that we've dropped recently. So, I am hopeful. I just, like I said, and I don't want to be too pessimistic, but you're talking about getting an answer, and I feel like the answer has just consistently been, well, just keep high pressing in the 4-2-3-1. The answer can't just be the 4-3-2-1 endlessly. I'm an Eagles fan, and Andy Reid, has done well for the Chiefs, but with the Eagles, he did the same four plays, the same four downs every single game, repeatedly, and every single person could read them. He would try and run it three times, and then they would try and throw it the fourth, or else they would do the exact opposite. And every single time they just got absolutely blown up because every opponent knew exactly what was going to happen. And I just feel like we run the risk of doing that. Like you said, he did talk about how they were going to more of a mid press and they were going to do some tactical adjustments. And I'm obviously not enough of an expert to understand some of those fine-tuned adjustments. But, we are betting, we're putting all our eggs in one basket, even if we do have smaller tactical adjustments, and we'll see how well that works.
Well, I think that, if nothing else, we will always be able to talk about racing, and that's what we'll do on this pod forever. But if things ever get really bad and we want to talk about how horrible things are, I will ask you about your history being an Eagles fan.
And
And
a
you can
Phillies fan.
really, and a Phillies fan, so you can really go deep, and then we can be like, oh, see, we've only had like however many bad months versus however many bad years, and we'll feel better about ourselves just in comparison.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to like 3 decades of misery yet.
Something to shoot for, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully I'm not the bad luck for all these teams. I'm not the person that's causing all these issues.
Oh God, no. Well, no. But I will. If I do think that there is an opportunity, if things don't improve, to find a way to combine the names of Kim Bjorkengren and Andy Reid. So. Something to think about. One thing that is worth noting that you've mentioned it a couple of times in our last pod, and I'll mention it here again today. Rough stretch of games for Emily Fox.
Except, I mean, were they? I mean, by any, but I just want to point out because I don't want to seem too harsh. For any other player, she did very, very well. She was not her absolute, like, supernatural Emily Fox self. We hold her to such a high standard that I do worry that we're holding her too high of a standard. I just want to say that really quickly.
That's fair. That's fair. And I'm sure that we're not holding her to a standard higher than she's holding herself. One thing
True.
that struck me about that Washington game, though, was I think that against every single player, every single other attacker on the planet, she's going to be faster. She's going to be a better athlete. I think Trinity Rodman may be the one player that is her equal, who may be a little bit better athlete, because on that one through ball that she outran Emily on, the gait that I saw Emily run with was the same one that I've seen her chase down every single other player in the league over this season, over last season. I think she's got another gear. I think she just didn't think that she needed to use it, and she got caught. Happens. I think it will, in all likelihood, be the last time that that ever happens again. And even though we are were on the losing end of that particular battle, Morgan, how much fun is it going to be to watch those two battle for the next decade? Oh my gosh, they are so fantastic.
It's great. And then we're going to also see them play together on the national team, and they seem like pretty good friends. So, I mean, I love those dynamics. I love seeing players that mutually respect each other hang out to get like with each other, just absolutely like go at each other on the pitch. So I enjoy that quite a bit, and I am looking forward to that matchup. I do wonder if one thing that's happening with Emily, though, is if she's just being confined and isn't used to being confined. You know, Emily was at her most absurdly wonderful when she would be all over the field and had freedom to do whatever she wanted. And, you know, she would pop up, you know, she'd be playing left back and she would pop up in the right forward position. It was absurd. Is she being told to stay in her lane more? And is she supposed to stay in her lane more? Because we have now Jalen and Savannah and just a better midfield in general. And she might be adjusting to, you know, kind of figuring out where she's supposed to be after having just like the full run of the field for the last, you know, year and, you know, segment, what, like the beginning of this season at least.
No, that's an excellent observation, and you'd love to know what the tactics are, what the coaching staff are instructing her to do, and how they are giving instructions for the rest of the team. So Emily knows that when she takes off, that her section of the field will be covered by somebody else. She's just such a dynamic playmaker, and you said it exactly. It's the fact she's so fantastic that when she looks like a mortal human being, we're like, what's going on with Emily Fox? Like, what's going
Exactly.
on? She doesn't, yeah, she doesn't look like a superhuman entity playing soccer. So what's going on? So
And you know,
it's fun to watch.
she has become come back energized from the national team before when she's played with them. Like, I remember last year she came back and then suddenly was taking shots when all season we'd been like begging her to take shots. And then she played against Korea with the national team and took some shots there and almost scored. And then she came back with racing and started taking shots too. So I'm hoping that, you know, even though we're going to be without her for a month, that she's going to come back even more energized than she was before. And that will be exciting to see.
Well, Becky, I think that pretty well covers us for the last couple of games and the player movement that we've seen. If I was to try to guess what was going to happen over the next couple weeks, Becky, could you tell me what do the stars tell us?
Oh, the horoscopes. Well, the good news is we are a Cancer, as we've talked about, and July is the month of the Cancer zodiac's birth. So hopefully that will bring us some good juju. All the horoscopes have said that it is time to focus our energy on our own needs, wants, and goals, and to put ourselves first and prioritize the things we want to accomplish. And this is also supposedly a dramatic time where Cancers need to figure out what they actually want and then stand by that decision. So I actually think that ties pretty well into our previous conversation. I mean, our players need to decide what they want and if they're going to stand by us or move on. And or that's at least the decisions that have been made in the last couple of weeks, it seems. And then we also need to make the decision about what we're doing, what style we're playing, and if we are really going to devote ourselves to this way moving forward and stick with that decision once we make it.
Sounds like a good time of self-reflection. There's never a bad time for self-reflection, but international break, a few less games. Let's do it, Soccer Holdings. We can do it. Let's go, players. And my hope is that the goals that they work on are actually scoring goals. So
Yes.
goals for goals.
Sounds
Goals
good.
for goals. Now, we've got a little bit of a break before the next few games, Becky. So something fun that we wanted to see if there was any interest in for those of you that are listening is ask Becky, do you, as a listener, have any questions, anything that you would like to talk to Becky about? I'm here too. I'm mostly good for Simpsons references and bad jokes, but happy to ask the questions for anything about racing, tactics, NWSL. What do you think, Becky?
I think that sounds good. And just as a notice, we are going to record next Monday. So there will be another episode coming quickly, which is why we're recording this during the break, because we didn't want to record on the 4th of July, which would where our schedule would normally fall. So we're resetting our schedule and going to be starting every other week starting next week. So we will make sure to advertise this on Twitter so you can, send your questions in, DM them to us, just respond, send a message to our Twitter account, Butchertown R on Twitter, and the letter R after Butchertown. And we can't promise that we're gonna address everything, but we will do our best to cover as much as we possibly can.
Absolutely. Just something fun to, every time we've had anybody that's been a listener that's reached out, all the content, every question, every comment, man, it's always really good. It makes us think, boy, the people that are listening are really, really smart.
Smarter than us.
Smarter than although, like, let's set a higher bar for our listeners, all right? Becky, let's set a higher bar.
Point.
Well, before we look to sign off, quick question, Becky, what do you want to add to the statue this week?
I don't know what we should necessarily add to it again. I mean, I don't want to say, like last time we said the statue of Lauren Millay riding Katie Lund was just going to be checked. It was going to be polished. We were just, keeping an eye on it, making sure things were good. And, we did turn around our fortunes, but,
Yes,
it's not like
absolutely.
we won. I don't think it needs to be like this great addition to it. So I would actually say that I would like to put it on a marble plinth. I would like to now have it on a solid foundation that we can now build from.
Wow, that is really good. I like that. First of all, fantastic use of the word plinth.
Thanks.
And I think that's fantastic. So the statue now has a solid base. We've got a base of players. We've got a base of success to go forward. So if you are a racing fan and you don't want to hear my other story, after the credits roll, you are welcome to turn this off. But if you would like to hear me ramble about a long story about celebrity and Jack Harlow's mom, feel free to listen after the credits. But if you're signing off, Becky, did you have fun this week?
Absolutely. We should do it again.
Let's do it again. Oh, you beat me to it. So, Becky, it came out in the Lavender Legion chat that I am friends with Louisville pop star Jack Harlow's mom, and I have a story about her. So,
Sounds
you
great.
want to hear? Excellent. So, you've heard the phrase long story short. Well, this is going to be like short story long, so I won't take too long. But so we moved to Louisville about like 5, 6 years ago, and I work from home. So when we first moved here, I didn't know anybody. I had no friends, and I was really lonely all the time. So I started going to a Toastmasters Club, which is a public speaking club. And if you are listening to this and you're like, hey, I'd like to go to a Toastmasters Club, shoot me a DM on Twitter, hook me up on Facebook. We'd love to have you. But anyway, it's a public speaking club. And when I went there, one of the people I met was a woman named Maggie Harlow. And this was 5 or so years ago. And Becky, like, Maggie is a really special person. She owns her own business with her husband. She's smart. She's charismatic. She's funny as hell. Everybody that knows Maggie loves her. She's active mentor in the business community. She's bringing in mentees. Maggie is like a super special person. It's funny. Every time I've seen like Jack Harlow, her son, on TV, I'll always say like, oh, that's Maggie's boy. So she's super cool. In fact, one last thing about Maggie is that you may remember last year, Lance McGarvey on Twitter started talking about like, oh, I'm so busy with play-by-play for Lou City and racing. I don't have enough time and blah, blah, blah. And Lance is awesome. And he was just, I think, venting a little bit, but I reached out. I was like, Maggie, you should do the PA announcing for racing. And I like tweeted at Lance with Maggie's number. And he was like, no, I'm good. She's all right. So he was not interested in giving up that gig, but, But so anyway, Maggie, super special person. Well, so the last few years, she's been giving speeches about her son and his career and how it's been going. And she gave a speech about when he was on Saturday Night Live. And it was really good. And this is where this story isn't like super about Maggie, even though it is that, so she was really, really nervous when Jack was on Saturday Night Live. And when he was on, and he was on, and he was very successful, and they all went backstage, and she broke down a little bit, and she was like so nervous, and he was excited, and she was proud mother, and she was excited, but still crying a little bit. Becky, guess who came up with a hug for Maggie Harlow?
Who?
Maya Rudolph. Maya Rudolph went
That's
up
awesome.
And gave. Maya Rudolph said to, "Oh, it's okay, Mama. He did a good job," and gave her a big hug. And I love that story because we all see Maya Rudolph and it's like, oh, she looks like she's just a wonderful person. I wonder if she is or whether she's a Hollywood phony. No, Maya Rudolph, legitimately wonderful person who gave Maggie Harlow a hug to help make her feel better and share her emotion after Maggie was very excited when Jack crushed Saturday Night Live.
I love having confirmation that someone I've liked for so long is actually a good, caring person. Nothing better than that.
Good way to end it.